I'm Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke, the 10th man to walk on the moon, and you got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. This is the Space Show, Australia, on 88.3 Southern FM.
Well, maybe they weren't turning blue, but there was great excitement in Auckland, New Zealand, Canberra, and Adelaide yesterday morning. And it wasn't because New Zealand had last week won the America's Cup yachting race in an amazing boat that ran on hydrofoils. There were three Australian satellites mounted atop an Electron rocket on the Mahia Peninsula on the east coast of the North Island. Here is how the Rocket Lab commentators described the three satellites and the other three as they sat on the fully fueled rocket awaiting liftoff.
Hello and welcome to the launch broadcast for They Go Up So Fast, Rocket Lab's 19th Electron mission. It is Tuesday, March 23rd here in Auckland, New Zealand, where we're joining you from Rocket Lab's Mission Control Centre. We're in the final minutes of the countdown to liftoff from Launch Complex 1, currently scheduled for 11:30 New Zealand time. My name is Muriel Baker and I'm the Senior Communications Advisor here at Rocket Lab.
And I'm Scott Moeller. I'm the Propulsion Engineering Manager in the Propulsion Development Department for the Electron's 3D-printed Rutherford engines, and I am thrilled to be joining you for another Electron launch. Today's mission is a special one, as it will tip us past 100 satellites deployed for our incredible customers. With six satellites on board, plus our very own Photon spacecraft, today's deployment sequence will take place in two parts. First, Electron's Photon spacecraft will act as a kickstage to deploy five satellites to a 550-kilometer circular orbit. Then, we'll use Photon's Curie engine to lower the spacecraft's orbit to 450 kilometers for the final customer deployment. From there, Photon will remain on orbit to build flight heritage ahead of an exciting mission to the moon for NASA this year. We're proud to be welcoming some repeat customers onto Electron again for this mission, and we're also excited to work with some new ones.
One of the repeat small sat operators and the first payload manifested for this launch is Earth observation company Black Sky. Their Gen 2 spacecraft will become part of a constellation to deliver real-time global monitoring from space for public and private organizations. We've also got three Australian small satellite operators on board Electron today. The first is from Fleet Space in South Australia, who first flew on Electron in 2018 on our It's Business Time mission. Fleet Space are building out an Internet of Things constellation in low Earth orbit, which their Centauri 3 6U nanosat on this mission will soon join. This satellite will also support the 2023 Seven Sisters mission out of Australia that will investigate new resource exploration techniques for Earth, the Moon and Mars in support of NASA's Artemis program.
The next Australian spacecraft is the Myriota 7 satellite, another Internet of Things small sat. Myriota's mission is to provide access to data from anywhere on Earth for those working in the utilities, transport, and logistics space. The third Australian satellite is the M2 satellite built by the University of New South Wales Canberra Space. Working with the Royal Australian Air Force for this mission, M2 will bring together technologies that cover Earth and marine observation, quantum computing, artificial intelligence, and communications.
Other satellites on this mission include the Very Hatchling 1U CubeSat from CareWeather, a company focused on saving lives through better forecasting of Earth's extreme weather.
And last but not least, we have an experimental CubeSat from the U.S. Army's Space and Missile Defense Command, or SMDC, flying on Electron today.
Now, there's also one more payload on this mission that we're very excited to tell you about. We have a Rocket Lab Photon spacecraft on board. This will be the second of our in-house built customizable satellites launched on Electron, and we've named this one Pathstone. Like Photon First Light before it, Pathstone will first perform its usual kickstage responsibilities of deploying our customer satellites before making the switch to Photon mode and carrying on with its own mission in low Earth orbit.
There were no delays as the countdown proceeded towards liftoff.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Thank you.
They really do go up so fast with a beautiful liftoff of Electron from the pad at Launch Complex 1. We're now T plus 40 seconds into the mission and approaching max Q, or maximum aerodynamic pressure, at the 1 minute 9 mark. Max Q is the moment during launch when Electron experiences the highest amount of mechanical stress from the dynamic pressure, which is a function of its velocity and altitude. We'll be coming up on max Q in just a few seconds.
We could pass maximum dynamic pressure.
And 10 minutes later, the rocket was in orbit. After a 40-minute coast, the Electron kick stage was used to circularize the orbit. As it crossed New Zealand's antipodes, the first five satellites, including the three Australian ones, were ejected into their separate orbits.
So we've had confirmation that the first satellite has been deployed from Electron, the M2 SmallSat from the University of New South Wales, Canberra Space in Australia.
Up next is the Centauri 3 Internet of Things NanoSat from Fleet Space. And there we go. We have confirmation of another successful deployment, this time for Fleet Space. Two down, three to go at this orbit. The Veery Hatchling 1U CubeSat from CareWeather is up next. CareWeather is focused on saving lives through better forecasting of Earth's extreme weather.
Great. And there is the third payload deployed from Electron. This one is tiny. It's about the size of a bagel. But next up is the SmallSat for SMDC. This one is the size of a loaf of bread and is being deployed by Rocket Lab's Maxwell CubeSat dispenser.
And as you can see in the simulation, the payload from the U.S. Army's SMDC has been deployed to its 550-kilometer low Earth orbit. The final payload at this orbit is up next, and it's the Myriota 7 satellite.
We are just waiting now for the deployment of the Myriota satellite. And there it goes. That's the fifth satellite on this mission deployed. The Myriota has been deployed to its orbit as planned.
Congratulations to all of our mission partners so far, and let me be the first to welcome you to your new home in orbit above the Earth.
Now, as of this afternoon, these satellites had not yet been entered into the SpaceTrack catalogue. Fleet Space Technologies has not updated their website to announce the launch of Centauri 3, and nor has Myriota. The M2 satellite will split into two and demonstrate formation flying technologies. The two satellites will be able to communicate with each other as well as with ground stations on Earth. Perhaps we should have said four new Aussie satellites, given that M2 will split into M2A and M2B. We have no word on when this split will occur. So, let's hope that all continues to go well with those. Meanwhile, Rocket Lab is flying the Photon stage, and here's a description of what they're intending to do with that.
Here to tell us more about the Photon on this mission is Jane McNichol in our Rocket Lab Long Beach headquarters. It's great to see you, Jane.
Thanks, Muriel. My name is Jane, and I'm a mission integration engineer here at Rocket Lab. I'm excited to be joining you from our Mission Operations Center inside our headquarters in Long Beach, California. It's from our production complex here on the West Coast, where our team produces more than 130 Rutherford engines and guidance and avionics hardware for our Electron rocket every year. It's also where our team builds our Photon spacecraft and operates them once on orbit from some of these consoles in the Operations Center that you can see behind me. Photon is pretty unique in that we can first use it as a kick stage from which to deploy our customer satellites. Then we can switch it into spacecraft mode to stay on orbit and complete secondary missions. Essentially, it performs two functions. First, as part of the launch vehicle, then second, on its own, as a standalone spacecraft. After Photon has deployed all customer payloads on today's mission, it will remain on orbit to build flight heritage for hardware and subsystems ahead of our mission to the moon for NASA later this year. The Photon Pathstone launching today has several updated subsystems from Photon First Light, launched in August 2020. The primary technical and risk reductions and goals for Photon Pathstone will be to advance test the flight computer, test GNC algorithms and flight software updates, conduct radio and Doppler ranging testing, and also validate our own in-house built solar panels. All that testing will be used to inform our most complex spacecraft mission yet, the Capstone mission, which will see Rocket Lab place a satellite into lunar orbit for NASA. Capstone will serve as a precursor for Gateway, a moon orbiting outpost that is part of the Artemis program to return humans to the lunar surface. Today's launch is another step towards this thrilling mission that our team can't wait to see launched later this year.
And that Capstone mission was further described by the commentators.
Now, when it comes to missions beyond Earth's orbit, there's still a lot to learn about how humanity will further explore our solar system. But there's one particular orbit near our moon that will be a great place to start. As Jane mentioned, Electron and Photon will launch to the moon for NASA later this year in support of the Artemis program. Photon will complete a series of orbit raises using its Hypercurie engine before deploying NASA's Capstone CubeSat toward its intended near-rectilinear halo orbit, or NRHO, around the moon. There's a bit more about this exciting mission launching later this year.
Rocket Lab is supporting NASA's mission to return humans to the moon. Launching on Electron this year, NASA's Capstone cislunar satellite will orbit the moon, serving as a pathfinder for Gateway, a moon orbiting outpost that is part of NASA's Artemis program to return humans to the lunar surface. Capstone's mission is to refine our knowledge of the dynamics of a unique halo-shaped orbit, paving the way for people to follow. The Near Rectilinear Halo Orbit, or NRHO, has an unobstructed view of Earth at all times, and also enables communications coverage of the lunar South Pole, the destination of NASA Artemis astronauts. Most Rocket Lab missions to date have deployed spacecraft to an orbit around 500 kilometers above Earth. But this mission will see us go a little bit further than usual, some 384,000 kilometers further. To get there, Electron will launch Capstone to an initial low Earth orbit. From there, Rocket Lab's Photon spacecraft takes over, providing in-space propulsion to conduct a series of orbit-raising maneuvers. This builds up enough velocity to perform a translunar injection, allowing Capstone to break free of Earth's gravity and set a course for the moon. After deploying Capstone, Photon will continue on its own trajectory to conduct a lunar flyby, while Capstone will use its own propulsion system to enter a cislunar orbit. Traditionally, smallsats have had to wait years for a rideshare opportunity on a large rocket in order to reach lunar and deep space destinations. With Rocket Lab, the smallsats call the shots, getting a dedicated ride to exactly where they want to go and on their schedule.
NASA is thrilled to be partnering with several small businesses to make this mission happen. That includes launch provider Rocket Lab USA, Capstone mission lead Advanced Space, the CubeSat developer Tyvek Nanosatellite Systems, the propulsion system provider Stellar Exploration, and several more. Together, we are expanding the reach of small businesses, small spacecraft, and small launch vehicles.
Now, several weeks ago, Rocket Lab announced they were going to build a new rocket, a big rocket. Well, it depends on what you call big, but much bigger than the Electron rocket. They had previously announced they weren't ever going to develop a big rocket, but they have decided to.
Earlier this month, we made a pretty big announcement. How big? 40 meters big, to be precise. We confirmed that a new, larger vehicle, Neutron, will be joining the Rocket Lab family.
The medium-lift Neutron rocket will be a two-stage vehicle that stands 40 metres or 131 feet tall, with a 4.5-metre fairing diameter and a lift capacity of up to 8,000 kilograms to low Earth orbit.
Neutron's 8-ton lift capacity makes it the ideal launch vehicle to deploy satellites into batches to specific orbital planes, creating a more targeted approach to building out mega-constellations. But just like Electron, Neutron is designed to lift payloads beyond low Earth orbit, too. With a payload capacity of 2,000 kilograms to the Moon and 1,500 kilograms to Mars and Venus, Neutron will be able to enable important science missions beyond our own planet. Neutron will initially be designed for satellite payloads, but will also be capable of International Space Station resupply and even human space flight missions, which is very exciting.
We'll be launching Neutron from Virginia's Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport, located at the NASA Wallops Flight Facility, where Rocket Lab's Launch Complex 2 is located. Using this existing launch pad and integration infrastructure at Mars, that means we can accelerate the timeline to first launch, which in true Rocket Lab style is sooner rather than later, expected in 2024.
Peter Beck is the Chief Executive Officer and the founder of Rocket Lab. He began his career making washing machines in Dunedin. Well, now they have big plans for the Electron and the Neutron. He was interviewed by the commentators as the Electron rocket put the Australian satellites into orbit.
Hello again, welcome back, and thank you for joining us for this 19th Electron mission. Electron successfully lifted off at 11:30 local time and completed all of the key milestones of launch, including passing through Max-Q, main engine cutoff, first and second stage separation, ignition and burn of the second stage, and final separation of the kick stage from Electron ahead of payload deployment. But while we wait, I am joined here in the studio by Rocket Lab founder and CEO Peter Beck to talk about our new rocket joining our launch vehicle family, Neutron. Peter, thanks for taking the time out of Mission Control to talk to me.
My pleasure, Mira.
Now, for those of you who might not be familiar with Neutron, Peter, why don't you tell us about the new rocket and why right now is the good time to build it?
Yeah, I mean, we spend quite a lot of time with Electron launching our customers, and Electron's been a fantastic vehicle to really pathfind a lot of constellations for our customers. So the conversation sort of went like, look, Pete, thanks very much for getting our first one in orbit, but actually now we've got a whole bunch of them we need to get there. Mm-hmm. So it became really, really obvious that there's a really massive need in the marketplace for a vehicle specifically built for launching, mega constellations and constellations. Mm-hmm.
So you've talked about Neutron as a constellation builder, but what makes it ideal for that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's right-sized. So, if you look at all the constellations that are in development in various forms, they all fall around a similar kind of mass class. And that 8 tonnes to orbit is really the ideal mass class, for building mega constellations. But not just mega constellations. In fact, if you look back through history, the average payload, mass lifted by all launch vehicles in all of history is between sort of 4 and 5 tonnes. So we think this is the right time to bring a vehicle that's right-sized to the market.
Cool. And what can you tell us about Neutron's engines?
Not a lot. It's a secret. No. I mean, there's areas that we're innovating and there's areas that we're not innovating. The engines, engines always deserve their own name, so they deserve they certainly deserve their own limelight as well. So we'll make a little bit more announcement about engines in the appropriate time.
It'll be fun brainstorming some new names for those engines, I'm sure.
Oh, it's already named.
Have you? So tell me why you've selected Wallops as the launch site for Neutron.
Yeah, so Wallops is actually it's a fantastic mid-inclination site, and mid-inclination is really, really important for the majority of launch. We're able to leverage Pad 0A and the wonderful team there at Virginia and Wallops Island. Obviously we have the home of Electron there, so it made perfect sense to also put Neutron there as well. And one of the interesting things that if you start to look at launch vehicle design, you find a lot of launch vehicles kind of asymptote around that 3.9 meter diameter, and that 3.9 meter diameter is really a function of the lowest bridge between California and Florida. So we didn't want to use that as a design constraint for Neutron. So
makes sense.
Yeah, so we were looking for a launch site that we could also manufacture near as well.
Cool. And what is the biggest hurdle for you at the moment for Neutron's development?
Well, the biggest hurdle is for Rocket Lab is always talent. So I don't want to turn this into a shameless talent plug, but I mean, in all honesty, that has always been our throttle, is how quickly we can onboard people. The bar is high, and we're unashamable that the bar is incredibly high at the company. That always is our throttle in developing any of Rocket Lab's programs.
There's a few hundred jobs expected to be created for this one, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Both in Virginia and New Zealand, and in fact, in every one of our locations, I think that is our throttle.
Sure. Also, Neutron's capabilities—it's going to be reusable, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's probably the biggest fundamental difference between Electron and Neutron. So, Electron was all about how do we make the most manufacturable rocket. Mm-hmm. Neutron is how do we make the most reusable rocket. There's a bunch of things about, especially the first stage, that as we announce a little bit more about the program, people will be, I think, quite surprised with some of the innovation that's in that first stage. Because it really is, it really is about how do we make the most reusable, not serviceable, the most reusable launch vehicle in the world.
And speaking of recovery, can you tell us anything more about when we'll next see another Electron under a parachute?
Not too many missions away, actually. So I was down sitting inside the stage there earlier in the week, and it's looking super good. So, parachute was about to be packed into the stage, and all of the little thrusters and everything were on it. So it's all looking very good. And the next recovery mission is with a significantly upgraded heat shield. So the previous recovery missions have been basically, with upgraded block upgrade of stage one with reaction control systems and guidance systems and things like that. But we never really addressed the handling the thermal loads that we expected, because it was kind of no point, because unless you can control the entry of the stage, it's kind of irrelevant. So this one has a much more significantly upgraded heat shield, and so we're expecting much better performance and hopefully much better condition of the stage when we go and pick it back up.
How exciting. Very nice. Hey, thank you, Peter, so much for joining me here. It's such an exciting time to be part of the team, and I personally can't wait to be front row and centre to watch Neutron launch from Virginia.
Yep, no, it'll be great. Thanks very much.
And that was Peter Beck speaking in Auckland, New Zealand, yesterday.